Isn't God good?
Yes.
Oh, my notes are up here. I rushed before worship to print out more notes. I actually had them on the... Good. Praise God. That's a good way to start a message. How y'all doing this morning? Gosh, I love our church. I love the fact that we are proud of our Christian heritage as the nation. And we can be honest, like, you look, if you engage at all in our culture today, we know we're post-Christian. We know we are. We know that there's lots of people who've just like, that's back then, that's not for now. But we have a unique opportunity as a church to really show them that God's teachings are timeless, that they work. And really, this whole book has been very much about that. When we celebrate our Independence Day, we celebrate freedom. The book of Galatians is all about freedom. Every single chapter is about freedom, our liberty in Christ. Freedom actually from a religious set of rules and into a relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. That's great. That's awesome. Just a quick summary, starting at week one, chapter one, we looked at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life. I want to encourage everyone, if you haven't seen that message, Pastor Bill knocked it out of the park. Out of the park. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal message, and it will free you up big time. If you've ever been burned by the church, been burned by religion, you need to watch that message. It's online on our website. Week two was crucified life. This is the key to us experiencing the tree of life, is the crucified life. That's surrendering our lives to Christ and trusting him with it. Week three was receiving God's grace, living by that grace. God's grace is all sufficient. That was a great message. Week four, living in relationship with God. A lot of people struggle with this, viewing themselves as part of the family of God, not just a servant, but as an heir of Jesus Christ, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So that's very important. And then Pastor Carl knocked it out of the park with week five, living by the Spirit. Very practical message, giving you simple tips and steps you can take to live by the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit, have that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Week six, chapter six, Paul was giving us his final advice to the Galatians, and really is to all of us as believers too. The Galatian church, they were a fickle group. If you study their history, they were pretty fickle. And guess what? That's human nature. You know, anything comes new, it tickles our ears, we go, ooh, tell me. You know, it's like we get excited about it. But everything has to be tested with God's word. And there was a group of people who came into the church and in Galatia and started teaching them something that was totally, it was new to them. They were brand new believers, but it was really something old. It was telling them to put shackles back on them. It was telling them to put religious rules and regulations back on them. And Paul's saying, get away from that. That's not the gospel. That's not what I came and taught you. Run from that. Get it out of your life. He's encouraging people to embrace freedom. Now, what does freedom look like? In chapter 6, Paul writes this to the church. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You want to know what freedom looks like? That's freedom. Being free from the chains of this world, from the pressures of life. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're of God's kingdom. Come on, that's freedom. Not finding your self-worth in accomplishments, but finding your identity in Christ and who God calls you to be. That's freedom. Paul is painting a picture for us here about his identity in Christ. He's free from all. He's on a mission for God. He's experiencing freedom in Christ, and he encourages all of us to do the same. Part of my personal testimony, I grew up in the church. I'm hearing kind of an echo. Do you guys hear that? Yeah. Okay. They're working on it. Thank you, ushers. They're reminding me. If you guys need sermon notes, they're in your worship guides, but if you did not get a worship guide and you need sermon notes, raise your hand. They'll come by, and they'll hand them to you. Awesome. Good job, everyone. You got your worship guides. Thank you, Greeters team, for handing them out. Steve and Mary Lou did an awesome job this morning. Thank you all. I love the greeters. They're always smiling and just joyful, and they really bless you all. There's lots of good news in that worship guide, so check it out. At the end of the service, pay attention to my message right now. So part of my personal testimony, I grew up in the church. I was raised in the church. My parents did a really awesome job making sure I was in church every Sunday. In fact, my parents are here in the service today. Fred and Rose Foreman, raise your hand, Mom and Dad. So if you love me at all, they're credit. They get all the credit. They raised me, and they taught me to really love God and to seek God and experience his power and presence in my life. They did a good job laying that foundation. They brought me into this world. They did not take me out. Praise God. So I really appreciate them for that. But listen, like all of us, no matter where you come from in your journey with Christ, eventually you have to learn to be in relationship with him for yourself. So that was something that my parents couldn't do for me. They could try to introduce me to Christ, but they couldn't do that for me. I had to learn myself, and guess what? I learned the hard way. Lots and lots and lots of times. Stuff my parents don't even know about that I did, and I'm not going to say it on the stage this morning. I'm not going to do that. But there was definitely a roller coaster in my relationship with God. It wasn't until high school that I got actually very serious in surrendering my life completely to him. I had moments before then where I definitely prayed, and I didn't want to go to hell. So I was like, yes, I'll receive this salvation. I don't want to burn. I don't want to be separated from God. But I never, up until sophomore year, actually it was between freshman year and sophomore year, I never really surrendered, and trusted my life in God's hands. Up until then, I was just performance mentality. I was a religious person. I had put on the Sunday smiles. I put on the Sunday masks. No one knew that I had issues behind the scenes. Even in high school, even after surrendering my life, listen, you can fall into a rut of going through the religious motions and putting on the Sunday smiles and not opening up to anyone. So I would still cope with pornography because I had that as an issue. I would still cope with things the wrong way instead of going to Christ. So there's this roller coaster issue that I was going in, and I wasn't experiencing really true freedom. It wasn't until 2007 when I came to Victory Church that I experienced some real freedom in my life. I'll never forget the first service, the first message I heard Pastor Bill preach. I don't remember what it was, but there was just an anointing on it, and I felt so much like pressure taken off of me. I didn't have to perform. There's such a simple invitation to just have a fresh start with God at the end of the service. And I bought in. I raised my hand that first service. I was like, count me in that prayer. I want a fresh start. I humbled myself really like never before. And when you do that, you experience real freedom. I'm telling you, you experience real freedom. And it goes from just doing religious duty to I have to read my Bible to I get to read my Bible. I have to go to church this morning. I get to be a part of the church. I get to be the church this morning, praise God. It goes from performance to passion. That's so important to remember. It goes from performance to passion. So Paul teaches us that we can experience this freedom. All of the five chapters leading up to this are about how do you experience this freedom. Now he's getting practical. What do you do with that freedom? Chapter 6, what do you do with that freedom? I like this quote from one of my heroes growing up, Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. Anyone a fan of Spider-Man? Anyone? Be honest, be bold. Come on, raise your hand. Proud Spider-Man fans. With great power comes great responsibility. I'll say this. Paul would say this to you. With great freedom comes great responsibility. There is a responsibility that you have when you get free from all the junk that God delivers you from. There is responsibility that we have. And Paul actually starts this thought in chapter 5. So we're going to go to chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. You're called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, this is your responsibility. Serve one another in love. The entire law, listen, you guys want to be legalistic? Listen to this law. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he continues in chapter 6, verse 2. Share each other's burdens. And then this way, obey the law of Christ. This law of Christ was something new. Jesus told his disciples, I give you a new command. Love others as I have loved you. That's the crucial missing. If you've been struggling with this idea of, how do I serve the church? How do I serve people? How do I serve my neighbor with the right motives? How do I avoid this ditch of performance and actually experience the passion of serving people in freedom? It's the love of God. It is the love of God is the missing piece. It's the motivating factor that for thousands of years mankind was missing, was having the love of God inside of them. The Bible says that he has shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. I love that picture. I'm actually quoting from the King James Version because I was raised with that, so I got a lot of scriptures memorized out of the King James Version of the Bible. But a picture that comes to mind is just Jesus inside of our hearts, just painting the walls of our hearts with his love. Just all around, painting the love of God, shedding it abroad in our hearts. And what he, I experienced that. I didn't experience that until 2007, where I truly dug into the Word of God and actually studied what love is. What is love? It's patient, it's kind, long-suffering. It holds no record of wrongdoings. It doesn't demand its own way. I had to learn all these scriptures because I was missing the mark. I was so judgmental and critical of people growing up. I knew everything. I knew what was right. I knew what was wrong. I knew people weren't measuring up to my standard and God's standard. But love covers a multitude of sins. Come on. That's powerful. Love is the missing puzzle. Love allows you to be able to experience true freedom, allows you to be able to serve people with sincerity and no front, no walls, just genuine, I just love you. I'm going to serve you. That's powerful. That's the missing piece. And I always advise, I have a responsibility here at the church to coordinate our ministry teams. We call them the Dream Team. You probably know some of their t-shirts that look sweet. They look awesome. Dream Team right on the front. They're great. All the ministry teams in the church, 66 people in all. Pretty amazing. I'm telling you, when we go to different conferences and I talk to other church leaders, and they always ask, you know, how are people, you know, getting connected? Are people volunteering, serving? I go, you know, we average this amount on a Sunday morning, but we got 66 people on the Dream Team. Their eyes just get huge. They're like, we never, whoa, how? They always ask how, and I'm thinking, we love each other? You know, like, we love each other. We love one another. We bought into, it's in our culture. We serve one another in love. I love that. So I tell our Dream Team members, listen, you don't want to get burnt out. You have to serve out of the overflow of your relationship with God. So how's your quality time with God each day? Are you getting filled up in his presence? And out of that overflow, you can minister to other people. I'm telling you, if you try to do it just week after week, without getting into God's presence and getting that overflow, you will get burnt out fast. And then all of a sudden, serving is no fun anymore. You're right back into performance mode. Now you feel shame and guilt. Well, I know I'm supposed to serve. You know, I know I'm supposed to help others. I know I'm supposed to be kind to my neighbor. But my neighbor's annoying me right now. So yes, I know I'm supposed to do this, but the love of God, getting to his presence, that's gonna set you free. That's going to release you into real ministry in your life. So the title of this message is Living to Make a Difference. Living to Make a Difference. I believe that's the Apostle Paul's message in the chapter 6, is we can live to make a difference. In verse 10, it says, listen, therefore, as we have, what? Opportunity. Everyone has opportunities around them. Everyone. It's not just in a Sunday morning. It's outside the four walls of the church. Everyone has opportunity. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So I love that. As a church, we really grasp that. 66 people on the Dream Team, that's incredible. And we buy into that. We serve one another here. But what can we do outside of the four walls of the church? I'm going to get very, very practical with the rest of this message to just empower you and equip you to really look and see what opportunities you have in your area of influence. What do we do outside the four walls of the church? Number one, you can write this down. Identify my sphere of influence. Identify my sphere of influence. Every single one of you has a sphere of influence. John Maxwell is famous for saying leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. And we're all called to lead people to Christ. We're all called to influence people. Leadership is simply influence. Every single one of us has an opportunity to influence people. So what's your sphere of influence? Let's look in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, but we will not boast beyond limits. Paul likes to say this a lot. He's not going to boast in this and that. He's boasting in Christ and what God's given him and the opportunities God's given him, but we'll boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. There's opportunities all around us. There is an area of influence that every single one of you have. Doesn't matter how long you've been in a relationship with Christ. It doesn't even matter if you're not in a relationship with Christ. I'm telling you, there's a call in your life to really touch people's lives and bless people. There are three areas that make up our sphere of influence. You can write this down just in the margins. Three areas. Number one, my people. My people. What's your people? Your tribe, your family members, your relatives. Those are your people. You know, some of you hate your people. Don't do that. It can be hard sometimes. You know, you rub shoulders with family members and a crazy uncle. I don't know. I always talk about this crazy uncle. I don't feel like I have any crazy uncles, but I feel like other people should maybe can relate to that. If you've ever listened to my messages in the past, I always reference a crazy uncle. But that's the story behind it. I really don't have a crazy uncle. Anyways, but life wasn't perfect growing up. I definitely got into fights and arguments with my siblings and stuff. And some family members don't talk to each other for 30 years or more. But you have an opportunity. That's your area of influence, your people. Second area of influence, my place. My place. What's my place? That could be your workplace. That could be your classroom. Where you go to work, where do you go to study? That's a sphere of influence. It's my place. God will bring you intentionally around people, coworkers that will rub you the wrong way, customers that will annoy the heck out of you. He brings them on purpose for a reason, I tell you. That's your area. You have an opportunity to be the love of Christ in their lives, just the light of God's goodness. Yeah. Third area of influence, my passion. My passion. What's that? Sports, extracurricular activities, clubs, hobbies, just areas that you're passionate about. God will use that to really bring you into other spheres of influence with other people with like passions. And you have an opportunity to make a difference in those areas. And let me tell you something else about this. God is sovereign. That's important to know. God is sovereign. So he's going to bring you across people's paths. And just trust that it's his will. Just trust that it's his will. You may question, why is this person bothering me? Why are these people on my case? Why am I running across this person, that person? God's sovereign. Let me show you in Scripture. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And catch this. And he determined, God determined, the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. So where you are right now, you being born in this country, in this decade, you know, in this generation, that's on purpose for a reason. God made no mistakes bringing you into this world. And the people that he brings you across is an opportunity. And some people are crazy. I understand that. We want to get away from them. But listen, God has you there for a reason. Okay, good amen? Amen? Yeah, that's a struggle to say amen to that. But listen, but when we are free, we can see people the way that God sees them. That's good. When we're free, we can see people the way that God sees them. They're created in the image and likeness of God. I love hearing my son Gabriel's voice. He's just encouraged me. Go, Dad, go. All right. Second step you need to take after you've identified your area of influence, meet them in their place of need. Go ahead and write that down. Meet them in their place of need. This is very practical. Guess what? Everybody has needs. Everybody. It could be physical needs. It could be emotional needs. Financial needs. I mean, everyone has needs of some kind. In your area of influence, God has you there for a reason. You get close to them, and you get to see, wow, they really need my help in this area. They really need just a touch from God. They really need me to pray for them. You know? Remember what Paul said in Galatians. I've read this before. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. He says, share each other's burdens. How do you do that practically? You got to get shoulder to shoulder with people. You got to get close, right? You know, I grew up in it was a good church. It was a good church, and I experienced God in there. But I heard one of the leaders say at one time on the stage, you know, sometimes you just got to love people from a distance. And I was like, I wasn't even like on fire for God, but I knew someone was wrong about that. Love people from a distance? Does Jesus love people from a distance? He could have stayed in, he came to earth, lived among us. He doesn't love anyone from a distance, and neither should his disciples, neither should Christians. We love people up close and personal. We get shoulder to shoulder, and we bear each other's burdens, and we help them trust in God and lean on his strength. Jesus loves people intimately and closely. And I'm telling you, if you have a hard time with that, you haven't yet experienced true freedom. But God's calling us to it. Listen to the previous messages. It will help you get to this point where you have this freedom to really walk in love, unconditional love towards people. Matthew chapter 25, this gets real when Jesus talks about this. Then the king, who's the king? King Jesus, will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in person and go to visit you? King Jesus will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You know, something that just stuck out to me, like highlighted to me yesterday when I was preparing this message, Jesus calls them brothers. He views all people as his family, especially potentially, like, you know, we know through the blood of Jesus we become heirs of God. But even the lost, God sees hope and purpose in them, and he views them as potentially his family, brothers of his. That's important for us to grasp. Whatever we do to them, we've done it to him. It's important to remember this principle. And let me tell you, this is going to really bless you too, because you're like, well, I don't have all the money in the world. I can't solve everyone's problems. God's not asking you to solve everyone's problems. Not at all. God simply wants you to use the gifts that he's put inside of you to be a blessing to other people. And you can minister those gifts here at the church on the Dream Team, but let me tell you, there are opportunities out in the world to minister your gifts to other people who don't know Christ. You have the gift of mercy. That means you're very compassionate towards people. You're very gracious towards them. Listen, I'll tell you what, there are opportunities. Lots of people will try your patience, right? You can show them mercy and kindness. Even when no one else is loving them, you can show them love in that situation. Gift of helps, that's my dominant spiritual gift, is the gift of helps. Even the other day, yesterday, Lillian and I were driving out of our neighborhood, and there's a lady that I saw whose purse was sitting on the trunk of her car. She was driving. But her purse was on the trunk of her car. It was barely hanging on because the antenna was right there, so it's kind of leaning on that. I'm telling you, if she had gone up to speed, taken a turn, that thing would have fallen. Let me tell you, that would have been probably her worst day, right? All of her stuff is in there. She would have driven to her location, tried to pay for something, realized she didn't have her purse. She would have had no idea where it was, right? I stopped the car in the middle of the road. Lillian was like, what are you doing? I got out. I didn't tell her. I got to help this person. I got out and stopped her, and I pointed to her purse, and she was like, I had no idea. I had no idea it was there. Praise God. What an opportunity. That's my dominant spiritual gift, is the gift of helps. I get sidetracked often. You can ask Lillian. If someone says, hey, can you help me? I go, what can I help you with? You know, that's my drive. I love doing that. Love it. Some of you have the gift of giving. Give to people who are in need. Some of you have the gift of leadership. Lead people. Rally people around a cause and make a difference for Christ. All the different gifts that God's placed inside of you can be used to actually lead people to Christ. To actually sow seed into their lives. Introduce them to Christ. And let me tell you, they're going to be hungry for God. They're already hungry. They're just trying to see. They're tasting everything in the world. They want to know what's real. You can show them what's real. I love this guy in our church. If you don't know him, I hope you do get to know him someday. His name's Ken Redding. And I know he's such a humble guy and probably, I don't know. I didn't ask him if I could highlight him, but I love him so much. I just got to, man. I just got to. I love spending time with him. He has such a heart for homeless ministry. Such a heart. He's so compassionate and merciful. He's got that gift of mercy. It's one of his dominant gifts. And he has this vision to just do something great out at Grace Marketplace, where the whole homeless community has been relocated there. Let me tell you, they need help. They need help. And he has this great vision for it. You notice in our worship guides, there's a list of items that you can donate towards that cause. Let's be a people of generosity and compassion, is what it says at the top. Well, I want to encourage everyone, if God lays it on your heart, you have the gift of mercy, partner with him. The contact information is on there. Partner with him. I'm developing a great relationship with him. I can vouch for his character. I love him so much. His heart's in the right place. And I just want to honor you this morning, man, because I love you so much. Would you give him a hand? Listen, after you identify your sphere of influence and after you have met that person or that, you know, you've met them in their place of need, you've identified it, then here's what you need to do. Number three, write this down. Point them to Jesus and his church. Point them to Jesus and his church. You don't have to be pushy about this. Some of you are the direct personality type, so be direct. Be what God made you to be. You can be, but let me tell you, if you're an introvert, you're kind of reserved, you're like, I don't know if I can just say, here, let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me tell you, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Do not shrink back from sharing the name of Jesus with people. Don't shrink back. You have an opportunity. They will come up to you because they see your good works. The Bible says when people see your good works, they will glorify your Father in heaven. They're going to be asking, what is this all about? I've had it happen multiple times in my life where I'm just doing a good deed and people go, you know what? Something's different about you. That's an opportunity. Point them to Jesus. You know what? But by the grace of God, would I be this and this and this, but God delivered me from that. I'm free. Now I'm able to help people. Praise God. That's good. Point them to Jesus. I remember there was this one time, these two young adults, I was going to Pizza Hut to grab some pizza for Lelaine. She was very pregnant, so I was getting good pizza for her. So I was going into Pizza Hut, and there were these two young people, clearly they were homeless, clearly. But I've never, it's like shocking to see someone so young homeless. It's like, how did you get here at such an early age? Early age. And they're just sitting down on the curb, very low to the ground, looking up, and they were getting my attention. And I just, of course, they said the keyword, help. And I turned, and I just sat down right next to them on the curb. And they were shocked that I got to their level and just sat down. Like, shocked I was spending time with them. Shocked. They could not believe. And I was just saying, yeah, I'll buy you some food. I had some. I mean, have an abundance for every good deed is what the Bible says, so I'm doing a good deed. You know, I'm not buying you crack. I'm buying you food. You know, so, and I was just, bless him. And by the way, they weren't on drugs or anything. I spent some time with them. I can tell the signs when someone's on drugs. But they were just, I'm not going to go into their full story, but let me tell you, I spent time with them. And they experienced the love of God in a real way. And by the end of it, their hearts were open and they were all ears. They were asking me questions. They were like, you're a pastor? Oh, and it's like, in 2 weeks, they're going to be moving to another state. I said, listen, here's what you got to do. And when I said, listen, they're like, you know, they were all ears. You got to put your trust in Jesus Christ 100%. He's for you. He's not against you. And you got to pray and ask him to put you into a great church. If you do that, he will shepherd you. He will lead you to that church, and you will grow, and you'll be experiencing all the fullness of God and his blessings for your life. And they were all ears, and they were receiving it. So I haven't seen them since, but I'm trusting God that they're getting connected somewhere in a great church. Amen. Listen, we have opportunities all around us. And guess what? I gave them an act of kindness card, too, at the end of it all. You guys remember these? These are little cards. We talked about them last year. Something extra to show you that God loves you. We got more out of the information center. Some of you guys got them in your car, and you forgot to use them recently. I know that because I've done it, too. But let me tell you, there are opportunities all around us. You can do these good deeds, bless people, and you just hand them this card, something extra to show you that God loves you. I'm telling you, they will be blessed and touched, and they'll remember it. It's sowing seed in the soil, and God's watering it, and God's bringing the increase. God's doing a great work if we let him minister through us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and Jesus says, I will give you rest. This is what we're offering people, rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How do you point people to Jesus? You simply share your story. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a testimony. Encourage them. Don't take their burdens on you. This is a good tip. This is a little nugget throwing in there. This is a pearl, let me tell you. Do not take their burdens on you. God did not call you to go shoulder to shoulder with them for you to be burdened with their issues and you to be weighed down. Let me tell you, if you've done that, you get burnt out fast. Only God can lift their burdens. And that's why we point people to Jesus first and then his church, because Jesus is the one who's going to lift their burdens. And you encourage them to trust God. Encourage them to trust God. We want people to be God-dependent, not people-dependent. That's good. We want people to be God-dependent, not people-dependent. And here's why the church is so important. We want them to get connected. Psalm 92, verse 12, says this, but the godly will flourish like palm trees. Anytime you see palm trees in the Bible, it means spiritual health, growth. You're healthy and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. Why? Here's why. For they are transplanted to the Lord's house. And the New Testament, we know the Lord's house is the church. You're all living stones being built up as a spiritual house for God. The Lord's house is the church. So when people get planted, they flourish in the courts of God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. I think about Claudette Colvin when I think about the scripture. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. Now, I'm not. She's older than me, but she is young at heart. She is a firecracker for Jesus. Like, she is on fire for God. She volunteers at Wilmont Gardens at UF. And some amazing program is a garden where they encourage people to come and work the garden. And it's therapeutic. They actually bring in people who are clinically depressed to come in and just get their hands dirty in God's creation, and it ministers to them. And Claudette has such a passion. She's a master gardener. I don't know if you knew this, but she's a master gardener. And she ministers to them, encouraging them to get in the dirt, God's creation, and they get ministered to, and it really is therapeutic. It helps them. What do you know? So I look forward to cutting the lawn at our new house. I look forward to, you know, getting my hands dirty in the backyard because it's therapeutic. But, man, she is ministering to people. She comes and helps in the church office, and all the worship guys that you got every Sunday, guess what? She's the one who's inserting them. It's her. 78 years old, I think, is how old she is. No. 80, what? 80 years old. I was off by 2 years, but man, I'm telling you, she's young at heart. She is young at heart. She's in Alabama right now. I wish she was here. I wanted to really, like, applaud her. But listen, she's listening. She's going to be listening to this message. Would you guys give her just a hand up? Come on. Yeah. We love you, Claudette. We love you. Listen, there is a promise of freedom for every single one of us. Let's close with this, the promise of freedom. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says this, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, let's not do that, from that nature will reap destruction. Okay, we've done that. That's the world's way of doing stuff. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let's experience freedom. Write this down. This is final note. Choose freedom. Every day. It's a choice that we have. Don't grow weary in doing it. Choosing a relationship with God. Let's, everyone, close your eyes, bow your heads. This is just a time of reflection right now in the service. And every head bowed, every eyes closed. You know, just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you. Maybe there's something in this message that just struck a chord. Maybe you want to experience freedom in a new and a fresh way. You want opportunities to minister to people like never before. You want to be free so you can touch people in a real and genuine way. Listen, God wants that for you. God wants that for you. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you bless everyone here with that freedom. Every day, Lord, help them to choose freedom. Help them to choose you. Help them to experience all that you have for them, the call in their life. Just pray, bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Give them opportunities to reach and touch people out of these side of these four walls of the church. Bless them, Lord. And Father, I pray for those right now. Listen, right now, if you feel a distance from God right now, if you know you've been through this whole church service,